You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Today we're wrapping up a series that we've been in called This Is Us. We've been teaching for 8 weeks through the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we've been talking about our identity in Christ. We've been talking about who we are as we belong to his family, the church, what it means to live this out together. Like, this is us. This is who we are. Let's embrace our identity in Christ. And it's been a great series. I've enjoyed it. Have you enjoyed this series? Anybody got anything out of this series at all? All right, five of you. Okay. All right. Now, it's been a great series, and we've been reading together through the book of Ephesians. How many of you finished strong? You made it through the finish line. You read the full book of Ephesians. Let me see your hands. Great. I see hands going up all around. And I just want to encourage you, keep going strong. Keep going strong. Stay in the Word. Pick your next book of the Bible. Something happens when you just dig into God's Word. I love teaching through a book of the Bible like we have for the past few weeks. So I just want to encourage you, keep going strong with your Bible reading habit. Well, let me start with this. On June 6, 1944, about 5,000 ships carrying over 175,000 Allied troops landed on the northern coast of France in Normandy. Of course, I'm referring to the famous D-Day invasion, which was the largest invasion in modern times, probably in the history of the world, when the Allied troops stormed the beaches of Normandy to begin the liberation of France and the rest of Europe from occupied German Nazi occupation, and they began to set Europe free. And, you know, it's an amazing day. A huge just armada of ships, like a mind-blowing amount of people who marched into battle, who stormed the beaches on D-Day. And, you know, the thing is, those men who stormed the beaches that day, they understood full well, they were under no delusion that they were going to the beach that day for a day of sun and sand, right? They understood they were going into battle. Today, you can actually visit the beaches of Normandy and frolic along the beaches, and people go to the beach like anywhere else. But those men that day understood they were going into a battle, and they were prepared. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6 today, we're going to see that Paul wants us to understand that part of the Christian life entails spiritual warfare, spiritual struggle, and he wants us to be prepared because this is just a part of our Christian reality. We're going to face struggles, and he wants us to be prepared and equipped, and so we're going to dive into this thing, and here's the deal. Many Christians have no sense that we live in a world and we're engaged in spiritual battle. Some people kind of live in this mindset that we're in constant vacation mode. But Paul wants us to kind of wake up, snap out of it, and understand and be prepared for the battle that's ahead. So we're going to get right into this, Ephesians chapter 6. If you're using a digital device or if you have your Bible, I'm reading from the NIV. The words are going to be on the screen. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to fast forward to verse 10. Let me just back up. I'll remind you where we've been. Last week, we covered Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul gives instructions to Christian households, how we're to treat each other, how we're to love each other. And particularly last week, we talked about husbands and wives. We talked about marriage. So whether you're married or engaged or you have a significant other or you're single, if you missed the podcast last week, go back and listen to it, okay? Because Paul talks about what Christian love is meant to reveal. And so we had a lot of fun with that message last week. Paul continues that thought into the beginning of chapter 6. He continues his instructions for Christian households. He talks about how parents should relate to children. He talks about masters and slaves. Remember, it was antiquity, ancient times. That was a part of life. He kind of has some instructions there. And then he gets to verse 10 and he begins to give some final instructions before he closes out his letter. How many of you think that we might want to just lean in and pay a little close attention because Paul saved this for last? Like, these were his final instructions. And in fact, he begins to talk about spiritual warfare. How many of you think we might just want to just perk up a little bit and really be tuned in? I can tell you, those men who stormed the beaches of Normandy that day, I promise you that when they were receiving their final orders from their commanders, from their generals, from their officers, they were paying good attention because their life depended upon it. And Paul's saying to us today, like, your Christian life depends upon you getting this. So we really want to lean in this morning. Here we go. We're going to jump right into it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Look at the first few verses. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So Paul says, in light of the fact that we live in a fallen world, because there's a spiritual struggle that's happening, because I want you to be prepared, I want you to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. See, Christian strength actually starts with knowing how weak and frail we are. It's kind of counterintuitive. Counterintuitive here. Christian strength begins with actually knowing our weakness, knowing our frailty. Wise is the Christian. I would say wise is the person who knows their weakness, who knows their limitations. Wise is the Christian who knows they need boundaries and accountability and dependence upon God. You know, my whole life, I've grown up in church, I've heard this chapter preached, these verses preached, and it was kind of preached from the standpoint that we're going to go out and become like spiritual superheroes. We're going to put on our armor. We're going to smear war paint on our face. We're ready to go out and take it to the enemy, and we're going to go to war, and we're going to kick some butt for Jesus. Like, that's kind of the way I've heard this preached my whole life. But you know, after reading and teaching for these past few weeks through every chapter of Ephesians, and realizing how lost we are outside of Christ, how weak we are outside of Christ and outside of our identity in him, I really see these verses being a lot more about humility, being a lot more about wisdom, being a lot more about dependence on God's strength than they are about you and me going out and becoming spiritual Captain America. I think this is about us trusting in God. Don't get me wrong. You should take the fight to the enemy every now and then, okay? The best defense is a good offense. There's a sermon to be preached there about, you know, being confident in our struggles. But I think the greater message here is really about our dependence on God and being aware of our weakness. Wise is the person. If you're here today and you're not even quite sure what you believe about this whole thing, I think you'll see wisdom in this. Wise is the person who recognizes their own limitations, their own weaknesses. You know, it's football season, right? And I think about quarterbacks like Tom Brady. There's only a few like him in the league who have been, you know, playing and performing at such a high level for so many years. And I guarantee you, Tom Brady has wised up to the point that he doesn't take some hits that he would have taken early on in his career. Like, he recognizes his limitations now. He understands he's no longer the young hotshot quarterback. He's no longer sees himself as invincible. He understands his limitations now, and he's going to play to his strengths because he wants to keep playing at a high level for as long as he can at his age. There's some wisdom, right? When you're young, you think you're invincible, but when you've lived a little bit of life, you begin to realize, why is this the person who recognizes their limitations and their weaknesses? And I think Paul's saying something to us about that today. And so in verse 12, he says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realm. So Paul says that our struggle in life is of a spiritual nature. Can I say this to you? We're often not very aware of how much of our struggles are actually of a spiritual nature. See, Paul was writing to the Ephesians, these Christians living in Ephesus, and you know, in ancient times, people were just in touch with the spiritual world. In fact, even the pagan people of Ephesus were quite religious. There were several, something like 60 different temples that were dedicated to different gods in Ephesus. These people just understood the spiritual world. But as modern day people, We often don't think about this at all, that there's a spiritual dynamic to many of the struggles that we face. And Paul says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. What does that mean? He says our struggle is really not about humanity, although we often think of it in that way, right? We think most of our problems are with people. Can we just keep it real this morning, church? Some of y'all are like, you know, Pastor, this Christian walk would be easy if it was just me and God. It's all these people in my life who make it so difficult. You know, it would be easy if it wasn't for my difficult spouse. You know, it would be easy if it wasn't for my difficult coworkers. The spiritual life would be easy if it wasn't for my kids being so difficult. If it wasn't for difficult coworkers, come on, wouldn't it be easy if the Christian life was just between us and God? We could just play Hillsong and worship all day and everything would be good. But it's all these people in our lives that make it challenging and difficult. We think people are the problem. And Paul might say, well, some of the people are the problem. But the reality is, it's what's influencing people that's actually your problem. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but the spiritual influence of darkness in this world. If you remember back in Ephesians chapter 2, back in week 2 of this series, Paul said that all of us, before we knew Christ, all of us lived under the influence of this fallen world. And this fallen world is influenced by spiritual darkness. We talked about that, right? The reality of spiritual evil in this world. And we said it this way. You could put it this way. You were born on a battlefield. There is a battle playing out between good and evil in this world. There's a cosmic battle playing out between spiritual evil and good. And we believe that good is victorious. We believe good is going to win out. We believe good is winning. We believe Jesus forever broke the power of spiritual darkness. But it's a reality. There are two kingdoms that are colliding. And you and I, we find ourselves in the middle of that. And you know, as modern day, like rational, logical Americans, like sometimes it's hard for us to accept this. For some of you in this place, it seems a little bit superstitious. I know some of you are here today and you're not quite sure what you believe about all of this. And you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not even quite sure that I believe. Like, that's the stuff of horror movies and superstition. But let me just encourage you to do this. Pay attention for 1 week really close to the news cycle, really close for 1 week. And look at some of the things that human beings are doing to each other on this planet. And you will be reminded of the reality of spiritual darkness, won't you? I mean, really, we read things in the news and we're like, you know, how could someone do that to someone else? What would possess someone to do something like that? What would possess someone to go out and shoot a bunch of people on a shooting spree? Notice the language that we use. Like, what would possess someone? You know, we hear people confess to terrible crimes and say things like, I don't even know what came over me. Think about the influence that's out there. You know, we just remembered, 9/11, right? Just a few weeks ago. And we're reminded of the reality of spiritual evil in this world. And so I would say this, there are two extremes to avoid here. On one end, one extreme to avoid is being dismissive of spiritual evil and kind of the sense of, well, you know, I'm not even quite sure if that's real, if that's something, you know, that I should believe in today. Well, listen, the Apostle Paul believed this was real. Jesus believed this was real. They spoke to the reality of this. I would say on the other end, the other extreme to avoid is fixation. Fixation on spiritual evil. There are some Christians who are more fixated on spiritual evil than they are on Jesus. I don't think that's the point, okay? Some people seriously, like they just see the devil everywhere. Like I went shopping at the mall and somebody got the parking spot I wanted. Satan's against me. You know, I'm on my way to work today and I'm catching every red light. Devil, stop. You're coming at me. I see people posting stuff like this. Like, no, it's just a red light. You know, it's all good. You know, oh, pastor, pray for me. I ran out of gas today on my way to work. No, you know, just put gas in your car. Quit being stupid. Okay, you can't blame. And here's the reality. We like to blame things on spiritual evil because we don't like to deal with the reality of our own brokenness. The Apostle Paul said we're all in a fallen condition. There's this magnet that pulls on us. It's called the curse of sin. Quit blaming the devil for all of your bad habits and every stupid thing you've ever done. Can we just be honest this morning? There's a middle ground here that we take this serious. Paul says, take this serious. Understand that your struggles are of a spiritual nature. We live in a fallen world. People are messed up. Evil is at work. Good is better. Good is going to win out. Jesus broke the power of spiritual darkness, but you have to at least be prepared and know that we live in a world where there's going to be a struggle, okay? But let's give glory to Jesus. Let's not focus all the time on the enemy. Okay, so here's what he says in verse 13 and 17. He goes on to say this, therefore, put on the armor, the full armor of God. In light of everything we just talked about, because there's a real struggle in this world, because there's a spiritual struggle in this world, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, look at verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, so Paul says you got to put on the full armor of God because you recognize that you're going into battle. I want you to be prepared. I don't want you to be ambushed. I don't want you to be surprised. I want you to be the kind of Christian who's thinking, the kind of Christian who's prepared, the kind of Christian who's prayed up, the kind of Christian who's got his armor on. See, if you don't recognize the kind of fight that you're going into, you won't bring the right equipment, okay? You don't bring a knife to a gunfight, do you? When you recognize the kind of fight that you're going into, you want to have the right equipment. If you're going into a spiritual fight, you don't want to just rely on all natural tools and resources. You want to have the armor of God on. You know, when I was in high school, I'll never forget, I was at a party that I shouldn't have been at, by the way. I was at a party and some kids got in a fight, a group of guys got in a fight, and one kid pulled out a gun. and started pointing it like in every direction. And that fist fight quickly came to an end. And can I tell you, I learned a principle that day. He who brings a gun to a fist fight wins the fist fight. That's what I learned that day. Now, let me just tell you this. If my mother's listening to this podcast, I'm going to be in deep trouble. So I'd like to just apologize on this podcast. Mom, I'm sorry that I went to that party. I know I don't hang out with those kids anymore. It was 20-something years ago. I promise to be home tonight before the street lights are on, okay? Just in case my mom's listening, really. Because it doesn't matter that it was 20-something years ago. When she hears this, she's like, what were you doing at a party? We raised you better than that. Sorry, Mom. A couple weeks ago, I was at the Met, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, with my son. And one of the cool things at the Met is they have this exhibit with all this old armor, like from knights and stuff. It's really cool. And, you know, when you first look at this armor, it seems so heavy and clunky. It's like you can't imagine going into battle with something like that on you. But then when you begin to pay attention to medieval weapons of warfare, like these big battle axes and swords and like a ball and chain, like, yeah, give me all the armor I can get, right? Because I don't want that stuff hitting me. So when you recognize the nature of the battle determines what you bring to the battle. You're tracking with me this morning? And Paul says, once you begin to understand that our struggle is of a spiritual nature, you want to have the proper tools that are necessary to be successful in the fight. So Paul says, put on the full armor of God. And what type of armor is it? Who is it made by? It's the armor of God. Yeah, it wasn't a trick question. It's the armor of God, right? So here's the thing, because when we're in a struggle, we're always tempted to put on our own armor instead of the armor of God. That's the truth. We're tempted to rely on our own armor instead of the armor of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, we all have natural mechanisms, coping mechanisms, things that we use to survive, to defend ourselves, to protect our ways. We've all developed these mechanisms that we use for survival, how we react in times of conflict, how we react in times of stress. And so let me ask you this. What do you find yourself naturally resorting to when life and people come at you, when life gets crazy, when there's a struggle, when there's a battle? I think most of us, we tend to face things in our own strength, physically, our own emotional capacity to deal with it. We tend to rely on our own reasoning, our own money, our own resources, our own power, our own positions, our own connection. Like this, these are the things we find ourselves doing. And I'm not saying that's completely wrong. Like you should use your God-given brain, you know, to work on some of your everyday problems. But we naturally trust in ourselves, in our ability to control things, don't we? Let's be honest, we can be control freaks. Any control freaks in the house? You don't have to raise your hand. Some of you, your spouse is like nudging you, like, yeah, preach to them, best. Like, we naturally want to be in control of things. And so here's what Paul is saying. You have to recognize that in a spiritual battle, all of your talents and resources and connections will only get you so far. We say that we trust in God. We say these things as Christians, like my hope is in God, my trust is in God. But so often, 9 times out of 10, we trust in ourselves and we take matters into our own hands. Come on, let's be honest. We're New Yorkers. We're a little bit gritty, right? We're a little bit aggressive. We know how to stand up for ourselves. Some of you, you know, when you first moved to New York a few years ago, you were all nice and polite in traffic. You didn't honk at anybody. You didn't yell and scream. Somebody cut you off. You're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I got in the way. Now somebody cut you off. You're laying on the horn like you're a taxi driver at LaGuardia Airport. Something. You ready to fight? Let's get out. I'll get on the hutch and fight you right now. Yeah, you need to get right with Jesus. Y'all are too serious this morning. I'm waiting for the caffeine to kick in this morning. Seriously. This is New York, right? Like this is kind of get this gritty do it yourself. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. Kind of gets inside of us after a few years. Some of y'all are born and raised here. It's in your blood. And here's what Paul is saying. You don't bring natural weapons to a spiritual fight. You don't bring a knife to a gun battle. You have to arm yourself with truth. Look at these things. You have to every day get up and strap on, like you have to buckle truth around your waist. Are you allowing God's truth to be your truth? You got to put on the breastplate of righteousness, right? A breastplate, like it protects anything from coming at you in your torso and the most sensitive part of your body. Like, are you surrounding yourself with righteousness? Are your feet fitted with the gospel? Literally, is the gospel the thing that's guiding your steps, guiding your path, guiding your purpose, right? Have you used the shield of faith? Are you leaning into your faith to protect yourself when life comes at you? These are the things you need. These are the God-given tools that you need for a spiritual fight. Now, notice when we need to put on the armor of God. Look at verse 13 again. So that when the day of evil comes, When the day of evil comes, you'll be prepared. Notice that we have to be prepared in advance before the attack comes. Anybody notice that? That's a really big when. Not if, but when the spiritual attack is going to come. Because it's going to come. How many of you have learned that? It's not if it's going to come, but it's when it's going to come. This is an important principle. You have to be prepared in advance. Because when life happens, when situations happen, if you're not prepared, it's already too late. If you go into battle and you get ambushed, it's too late. You've got to be prepared. Let's make this real life, okay? Some of you, and here's the problem. Some of us, we're struggling in our spiritual walk. We're struggling to grow spiritually. We're falling. We're falling into the same trap over and over again because we have not learned from the past and we have not learned. We're not in touch with our weaknesses. We're not in touch with how much we need God. We're not in accountability with other believers. And so we just keep stumbling into the same mistakes all the time because we're not prepared when we walk into that situation. It's like when you go to work and you know you walk into that room and there's that one coworker who just gets on your nerves. Like you just want to slap them. That's what you really want to do on the inside. You want to just, the spirit of slap comes over you. Okay? Like, you know you're going to see that person. You might as well just get prayed up and prepared. Some of you married people, we talked about this last week. There are certain times when you know you just need to give your spouse some distance. Certain times of the month, certain times in the morning. Some of you, when you wake up like your spouse is not a morning person, you need to put on the coffee machine and just get away and go put on some worship music and start praying. Just be prepared because you already know what's coming. Are you with me this morning? Like some of you, you're overcoming like some addictions in your life. Maybe you've overcome alcoholism or drug abuse or whatever, and you know there's going to be a dinner party for work. And when you go, people there are going to be drinking. They're going to be drinking too much. And you don't need to fall back into that. You need to have like an escape hatch in place. You need to have some safeguards. Like you need to have a plan in place beforehand. Are you tracking with me? You've got to be prepared before the fight. If the fight breaks out and you're not prepared, you're already in trouble. You got to have boundaries. It might be, I'm not going to be up late at night on social media or on the internet because I tend to stumble into things I don't need to stumble into. Wise is the Christian who knows their dependence on God. Wise is the Christian who straps on the armor of God, who says, I'm not sure what time of day it's coming, but I know at some point in time it's coming and I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be prepared. So, okay, here's the other thing Paul says. Another truth, okay? You got to bring the right armor to the battle. Bring the armor of God. Don't depend on yourself. Be prepared in advance. Don't wait till it's too late. No, learn from the past. Learn from the past. Some of you are thinking about situations right now. Learn from the past. Okay, be prepared. And then here's the other thing. You can't win the battle alone. Recognize that you can't win the battle alone. Look at this. See, there's a little bit of a, reading this in English, we tend to lose something because the New Testament was written in Greek. So here's what we don't read when we read a verse like verse 13, where Paul's speaking to us about putting on the armor of God. The word you there is actually plural. It's actually plural. See, Paul's not just writing to the church by ourselves when he's saying put on the armor of God and you can be able to stand your ground. He's talking to not just individuals, but he's talking to the church together. He's talking to the believers at Ephesus, and I believe by the Holy Spirit he's writing to us, and he's saying like, no, this is a battle that you take on together with fellow believers in community. Because you're part of the body of Christ, there are certain battles that you cannot win alone. The church is called to stand together. You need somebody else who's got your back when you're in the battle. You know, I'm one of four boys. I was number three. I had two older brothers. I was always a skinny, kind of scrappy kid, and there were some tough kids in my neighborhood, but I knew I had an older brother who had my back, and if somebody messed with me, my older brother was going to beat them up. So I was a little bit cockier than I should have been, but I knew I had a brother who had my back. Are you with me? Like, you got to have somebody who's got your back in the fight, especially if you're a skinny white boy like me. Paul's saying you can't do this alone. You cannot do this alone. And so you have to be intentional about community. You have to be intentional about community. You know, research actually shows that your friends, your closest friends, actually affect you psychologically. They affect the way you think. Just even limited exposure to people, friends, begins to affect the way you think. There's the old adage, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Turns out that psychological research proves that to be true. That the people we get close to begin to affect the way we think. They begin to affect the way what we believe. They begin to affect our values. And so if you're someone who you would say, I want to be closer to God. I want to be walking like in harmony with God. I want to have a relationship with Him, His principles for my life. I want to grow spiritually. Anybody in here, that's you, you'd say, I want to grow spiritually. I want to be closer to God. I want to be healed. I want to be whole. If that's you, then be very careful with who you're surrounding yourself with. Be really careful with those who are closest to you, who influence you, and you need to get some Christian friends. I'm not saying you shouldn't have any unchurched friends because we're supposed to be light and salt in our world, but you better have some believers in your life. You need some other. You need to be intentional about Christian community. And so this is why we talk about things like life groups. We believe in this. Like we know that we need each other. We need another brother or sister to be there for us. Some of you, like maybe you join this church because you love the worship. It's inspirational. Maybe you love the messages and you like to go back and listen to the podcast. Can I tell you, that's all wonderful, but the podcast is not going to be there to hold your hand when you're going through a crisis in life. You need another believer to hold your hand, to pray with you, to be a shoulder you can lean on, somebody you can talk to, somebody to speak some godly wisdom into your life. That's what you need, and you only get that when you have spiritual friendship. So the essence of even what we do with life groups, listen, it's not about a great Bible study or this great theological discourse. We thank God for that. You know what it's really all about when it's all said and done, getting into a life group? It's about spiritual friendship. It's about Christian friends, just having some Christian friends in your life to encourage you in the journey. So we want to encourage you to take that step. As Paul says, there's some battles you cannot win by yourself. All right, then in verse 18, he lands the plane, okay? He says, you have to know that you can't do it alone. You can't do it in and of yourself. You have to depend on God, to put on the armor of God. And then verse 18, he says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So Paul says, let me give you one last step. Depend on God. Don't depend on yourself. Depend on other believers. Depend on the spiritual gifts of truth and faith and the gospel, all the things that God has given to you. And why don't you add one more thing to that, church? Stay prayed up. Be alert and stay prayed up. This week, Danya shared a picture on Facebook, our guest services team leader, Danya. She put this picture on Facebook. How many of you love Danya? Any Danya fans in the house? Sharing some inspiration on Facebook. I'm like, Danya, I'm stealing that and putting it in my sermon. But I gave her credit, so there you go. But a picture is worth 1,000 words, isn't it? And I love this picture. This is why we pray for each other, right? The little guys holding on to each other, because sometimes I'm down when you're up. And sometimes you're up when I'm down. And you might have a spiritual gift that I don't have. And maybe I've been through a certain experience in life. And so when you're going through that, I can help you walk through it because I can encourage you and say, God brought me through that thing. That's why we need each other. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, pray to God. Pray for each other. Pray for other believers. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Now, what does that mean, to pray in the Spirit? Paul's saying, you got to kick your prayer life up a notch, okay? This means listening and being sensitive, not just praying to God, but with God. In other words, sometimes we go to pray and sometimes we pray these kind of now I lay me down to sleep type prayers and we kind of have our list of things and God, I pray for, you know, this and God, I need that and God, this. And we kind of have this list of things and that's okay. You should pray for the things you need, but sometimes you don't just pray to God, but you pray with God. It would change things if you would say, now, Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you into this situation. Maybe you're going through a struggle. Maybe there's a certain person or a certain situation or a sickness or some financial stress. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you. I'm not even sure what to do, but when this thing happens, when I face this that I'm going through right now, when I see this person, when I'm in this situation, I'm inviting you. I'm asking you to come and help me. Do you see how that changes things? Being sensitive to the Spirit, being sensitive to Him. And so here's what Paul says, be alert and always keep on praying. Be alert. Everybody say, be alert. Be alert and always keep on praying. When I read this, my mind instantly raced back in 2000. I was with my family on a trip to Germany. We went to Germany, southern part of Germany, Bavaria, as a family, really special family trip that we took together. And one of the cool things we did is we went on this tour. We were in this medieval city called Rotenburg. And Rotenburg is famous. It's in Bavaria. It's one of the best preserved medieval towns in all of Europe. And so people come from all over the world to walk the cobblestone streets of this little romantic city that's kind of frozen in time. And one of the coolest things we did is we took a tour with the night watchman, that guy there in the black cloak with that hatchet spear looking thing. You don't want to mess with that dude. He'll cut you up. But anyway, we went on the tour with this guy. And you know, what happened was in medieval times, the night watchman, his job was to keep watch, to be alert, to watch over the ancient cities and to walk the streets because law-abiding, decent citizens were in bed at night. And so the watchman was out, and who were the kind of people he was encountering? You know, thieves and drunks and maybe even people trying to infiltrate the city. And so it was his job to watch over the city while the people were asleep. That was the job of the night watchman. So he had his hatchet in case anybody messed with him. He had his horn that he could blow if there was a fire, and it was his job to keep watch. And you know, I thought about this. We're like the night watchman. We should not be caught off guard. Paul says, listen, you're like the night watchman. You already understand you live in spiritually dark times. I'm not trying to depress you, but this is just the reality of the world that we live in. So as believers, we ought to be prepared. We ought to be ready to sound the alarm. You ought to have your spiritual hatchet spear thing in your hand and be ready. It shouldn't catch you off guard when bad things happen. It shouldn't catch you off guard when all hell breaks loose. It shouldn't catch you off guard when your friend from your life group calls you and says, pray with me. You wouldn't believe what happened at work. Pray with me. You wouldn't believe what my kid did at school today. Blah, blah, blah. You know, you wouldn't believe because we're ready. We're prepared. We're like the night watchman. Like we're on the job. We're prayed up. And Paul says, if you would learn to live this way, this isn't about being negative or pessimistic or living like you're shell-shocked, but this is living with wisdom. This is living with wisdom so that you'll be prepared, not caught off guard, not ambushed, and so that you can even help somebody else. You're just prayed up. Now, let me just bring this home for us this morning. This whole series, the essence and the heart of this series has been about embracing our identity in Christ. We keep coming back to this. All throughout Ephesians, Paul keeps reminding us that we're in Christ. You're positioned spiritually, you're in Christ. What is your new nature? You're in Christ. We're going to live out of our new nature in Christ. We're going to let go of the old self. Like this is us. This is who we are. And so let's just root this in identity as we bring this home today. Here's what Paul is basically saying. Paul is saying, be weak in yourself, but strong in the Lord. If I could sum it up today, he's saying, listen, don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your own resources. As smart as you are, as talented as you are, as good looking as you are, you're a good looking church. It's nice to pastor you. As good looking as you are and as impressive as you are and as far as you've gotten in your career and as much money as you've made, don't start being tempted to trust in yourself. But as Christians, our trust is in God. Be weak in yourself, but trust in the Lord. Now, this is so counterintuitive for us. This is so counterintuitive because you and I, we live in a culture where the prevailing wisdom tells us, find your inner strength. Come on, you can find a meme on that today on Facebook. Look inside. Come on, Mariah Carey. Look inside yourself and be strong, right? The hero lies in you, on the inside of you. I'm not even going to start trying to sing Mariah Carey today. We'll empty the church fast. But find your inner hero. Be strong inside of you. Everything you need is inside of you. Now, listen to me. Some of that is good, all right? I'm not trying to be a killjoy. There's a little healthy dose of self-confidence, of loving yourself and being whole in yourself. Some of that is good. But let's just be real. Paul is saying there are some struggles that we face in life that are bigger than you and that are more than you can handle. And you ought to just let down your pride and just be honest and be prepared. There are some battles that are of a spiritual nature. There are some battles that are bigger than you that you can't tackle by yourself. And there's some seasoned people in the room. I won't call you old. I'll call you seasoned. There are some seasoned people in the room. You've lived a little bit of life. You're humble because you've lived a little bit of life and you've been through some stuff. And you would say to some of the younger people in this room today, listen to Pastor, because at some point in time, you're going to go through something. At some point in time, some of you, you've had success after success. You're in your sweet spot right now, and that's great. But can I tell you, there is going to come a day when the battle is going to be bigger than you. There's going to come a day when the burden is going to be heavier than you can carry. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm trying to give you wisdom so you'll be prepared for real life. And there are a lot of people in this room who have lived through some stuff, and they would say from life experience, that is absolutely true. And Paul's not trying to depress us. Paul's trying to give us hope. He's trying to say, you may be weak in and of yourself, but your strength lies in the Lord. And so ironically, for Christians, weakness becomes a gift. This is so counterintuitive because in the world, weakness is never a gift. Admitting your weakness is never a gift. Never let down your guard. Never show them your weakness. But in the Christian world, in Christian thinking, weakness becomes a gift because it causes us to snap out of our faulty dependence on ourselves, and it gets us looking to God so that we pray the prayer of the psalmist. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from you, maker of heaven and earth. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's what weakness causes you to do, to snap out of it. to snap out of it. And so Paul understood this. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. He said, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now that doesn't even make sense in everyday life. That is the most schizophrenic thing you ever heard in your life. Until you understand the gospel, right? That the gospel is God did for you, which you could never do for yourself. And isn't that what Paul has been preaching to us for 6 chapters through Ephesians? He's been telling you, you can't do it, but Jesus did it for you. He did for you, which you could never do for yourself. So in your weakness, actually, that's when you're most strong, because that's when you're least tempted to trust in yourself. Because here's the reality. When everything's going your way, when you're hitting your stride, when you're on fire, when you can do no wrong, that's just the time that we're tempted to think we don't need God anymore. But it's in our times of weakness that we're naturally inclined to look to Him to find our strength, to find a greater strength than we could ever find in ourselves. So let me leave you with this final thought. Our temptation is to overestimate our strength and to underestimate our strength in the Lord. If you didn't hear anything else today, snap a picture of that. Our temptation is to overestimate our strength and to underestimate our strength in the Lord. The bad news is that you're weaker in your own strength than you ever thought you are. Oh no, you've accomplished some good things. You've been a pretty stable person. You've paid the bills. You've made it this far in life. There are some good things about you. But the reality is there are some struggles in life. There are spiritual struggles in this world that are above and beyond your capacity. You're a lot weaker than yourself than you think you are. We tend to trust ourselves, but the reality is it's a faulty trust. But here's the good news this morning. You ready to cheer up? I'm not going to depress you this morning. You're going to leave here happy and encouraged. The good news is that we tend to underestimate just how strong we are in the Lord. You're stronger in the Lord than you ever thought you are. You're stronger in the Lord. If you feel weak this morning, that's okay, because you're stronger in the Lord than you ever thought you were. You ought to have crazy levels of confidence in Him. You ought to have crazy levels of confidence of what God can do in your life. Because as you look back and you realize, God, you brought me this far. God, you got me through that. God, I could have died then. Lord, I could have lost my mind there. God, I could have been one of those people who went on a shooting spree because I was going through such a crazy time. But God, you kept me. I didn't slap my coworker and lose my job. You brought me this far, God. And in my weakness, you are made strong. So I'm going to have confidence in you, because Paul said in Philippians, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." He's going to complete it, because it's not in your strength. It's in your weakness that you're actually made strong. Come on, stand with me this morning, because God is strong through you. Stand with me. We're going to pray into this for just a moment. We're going to pray into this. Worship team is coming back to lead us in a final song. And here's the thing, some of you are in a season right now, you're in the struggle, you're in the battle right now. You're in the battle right now with whatever it is. I don't know what your situation is. Maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's stress, anxiety, maybe something's happening in your life. You're in the battle right now and you feel weak. If you're honest, you'd say, "Pastor, this Christianity thing's not working so good for me right now. I feel like I'm taking one step forward, two steps back. I'm not getting anywhere. I thought I'd be further, but can we all just have a come to Jesus honesty moment right now? We've all been there before. I've been there before. You've been there before. Some of you, you're there right now. Okay? And can I just give you good news this morning? It's counterintuitive, but in this moment, your weakness is actually a gift, because it causes you to trust in the God who's stronger than you are. The God who has all of the resources, all of the gifts, everything that you need to get you through this. And so this morning, we're going to turn to Him. We're not going to allow weakness to be a chance for despair, for us to give up and to go backwards. But no, this morning, we're going to lean into the help of the Lord. Would you pray with me this morning? Make it personal. Make it personal. Let's pray to Him this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your great love. God, we thank you for who we are, that for those of us who are believers, we are in Christ. That's who we are. And Lord, today we first of all take a moment to just be honest and repent of our self-dependence. God, we say we trust in you, but so often, God, we trust in ourselves really. And so often we forget how much we need you. God, we're asking you to forgive us. God, forgive us for the times that when we were hitting our stride, we forgot about you. And Lord, this morning we want to put on your armor, not ours. God, it's so easy for us to go back to our coping mechanisms. It's so easy, God, for us to go back to our way of protecting ourselves, our way of survival. But God, today we put down our armor and we take up the spiritual gifts that you have for us, truth and faith and the gospel and your word, God. And Lord, this morning, we ask you to help us. Help us to be humble enough to recognize that we need other believers in our life. We need others in our life, Lord. There are some battles that we can't wage on our own. And so, God, today we recognize our dependence on you, on your people. And God, we're asking you to help us to be watchmen. Help us to be prayed up, to be alert, and to be people of prayer. God, when we're weak, when we forget, Lord, would you pray through us? Holy Spirit, would you pray with us, God? So not only do we get through the struggle, but we're strong enough to help somebody else along the way. Father, we thank you for it. Do it in us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's worship together to this final song, church.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.